in our Father's house together. I want to read from a text. I'm going to be jumping all over the Bible today as we look at a message entitled, The Benefits of Fear. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 9, and I want to read verses 26 and 27. Or 27 and 28, I'm sorry. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Let's pray. God, how awesome you are, Lord. Father, we know that there's a lot of bad stuff that happens in life, Lord. And none of us are exempt, but we also know that we have a Savior who bore sin, and he's coming back. Praise you, Jesus, and to bring salvation. And Father, we are grateful for your rescue. And today, Lord, I just pray you continue to move. I've sensed your presence and spirit through every aspect of this service together. And so, Lord, I just ask that that continue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The benefits of fear. Personally, I've never enjoyed being afraid. I have spent my life trying to not be afraid. My son Daniel loves horror movies, and he's always trying to get Cindy and I to watch the latest horror movie. And that's just not for me. I tell you, I was thinking about this back when I can't remember how old I was. I was probably 10, 11 maybe. And I spent the night with a friend, and he talked me into this. In the basement, we were watching one of these Count Dracula movies. And, you know, I was a little like, this is crazy. This guy's got some pointy teeth, and I'm going to keep my blood, you know. I don't want to be a meal for some vampire. So I'm watching this, and this guy, Chris, he goes upstairs. So I'm alone in the basement, and I hear this loud noise, and I turn around, and I see Dracula, you know. And it was a sliding glass door and the reflection of Dracula from the TV set that I saw. But that was enough to send me quickly up those stairs because I did not want to be down there by myself in the basement. You know, I was afraid. Most of us certainly don't volunteer to be afraid. But yet there are benefits of fear. And I want to look at three of those this morning in this message. The first benefit is being afraid keeps me from doing something I might regret later. Turn me to Proverbs chapter 10. I want to read verse 27. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. In other words, by staying within God's guidelines and trusting Him, we're safe or safer than if we step out of the safe pasture that He has provided for us. I was thinking of several examples of when I was younger. There was a guy that lived down the road from me named Chuck Cabe. And there was a guy back when we were young named Evil Knievel. And Evil Knievel on his motorcycle would jump over a lot of stuff, and crazy in my mind. Well, Chuck Cabe wanted to be the neighborhood Evil Knievel, and so he rounded up all the trash cans he could find. He constructed two ramps, and he started on a quest to see how many trash cans he could jump over. Well, I knew this wasn't going to end well because he kept adding trash cans when he would make the jump. And sure enough, it finally happened. I don't remember how many trash cans, but he didn't make the jump. And it was a crash, and I decided I will not follow in the footsteps of Chuck Cabe. I do not want to be a daredevil, because that looked like that hurt. And then I thought of another time as a teenager. It was in the summer, and like so many people, it was so great to jump in the water to cool off. And we would often swim at a lake. It was Lake Summit in Tuxedo, North Carolina. And we would jump off this bridge, and it was quite a ways down, but, you know, we didn't think a whole lot about it. A little frightening, but, you know, I couldn't let my friends know I was a little scared. So we would jump off that bridge. Well, 3 or 4 years later, we met this young lady who was maybe 2-3 years older than me, and she was in a wheelchair, and she had jumped off of that bridge into the water, but unbeknownst to her, there was a log floating by that she didn't see, and so when she hit the water, she actually hit that log. They were able to save her and get her out of the water, but she was in a wheelchair for the rest of her life because of a decision that she made. And of course, you know what came to my mind? I thought, that could have been me. I had jumped off that bridge many times, and it wasn't safe. There was quite a risk there. Psalm 37, verse 3 says these words, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture." You see, God's Word, His commands, that's safe pasture. And it doesn't mean that we're exempt from trouble. Yeah, there's trouble that happens in the life of a believer. Jesus said, you know, "Have my peace, take heart. You're going to have trouble in this world, but I've overcome the world." He does say, though, trust me, do good, dwell in that safe pasture, follow my word, follow me, and I will lead you where you need to go. Don't self-destruct because you step out of my pasture. Okay, a second benefit of fear I want to share with you is that being afraid keeps me alert. It is easy to not be alert, and we can get hurt when we're not aware of our surroundings, what's happening around us. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." What a picture that God gives us here of our enemy, the devil, being like that majestic lion with all that raw power. And, you know, I've always been amazed how a cat can walk so softly, and they can come up behind you and you don't know they're there because you can't hear them as they move. Even with a majestic large cat like a lion, they have stealth as they're able to move toward their prey. But a couple of things about lions. Number one, they don't have very strong senses, a sense of smell or the best eyesight. And so that is not what they rely on in order to catch their prey. What they do is they are very careful and they move very slowly and very intentionally toward their prey. It's not unusual for them to take 15 minutes for them to take tactical steps, moving where they need to be in order to pounce upon their prey. So they're patient. You know what? Our enemy, the devil, he is patient. You know what? He doesn't mind watching you and studying you. And as a matter of fact, he's been studying people for thousands of years. And we definitely have some similarities with other people. And so he's developed strategies. He's developed tactics in order to trip you up and to push you away from God and separate you from Him. And he's good at that. And he doesn't mind sitting and waiting and watching for just that right moment as he sets his little traps to put you in danger. And so we need to be alert. We desperately need to be aware. Secondly, Also, lions do not hunt alone. They hunt in a group, a pride of lions. And they have a specific strategy where the lions will surround the prey that they are seeking, and they will close in on that prey, and the lion that is most visible will strategically move the prey in a direction where a group of lions or a herd of lions can attack that prey. You know, the devil, he has his henchmen, the demons, the angels who rebelled against God to help him. He is not all-knowing. He would like us to believe that he is the opposite of God, that he knows everything and that he has all control and power from the perspective of evil and harm. But he is not as powerful as our God. He is a created being. He does not know all. He does not see all. He relies on help from his angelic henchmen to surround us and watch us and to employ his strategy upon us. And isn't it awesome as we think about what God thinks of us? Listen to Psalm 144, verses 3 and 4. What are human beings that you care for them? Mere mortals that you think of them? They are but a breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow. So he said, God, who am I? And yet God says, you are the apple of my eye. You are a special people who belong to me, a people that I sent my son to die for. Guys, he simply loves us. And we need to be alert because we are in a spiritual battle. And that's the benefit of fear, is that we can realize that the enemy is after us. And that when we step out of that safe pasture, there is danger. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. I'm going to go through this slowly, just one verse. Be ready. Do not be asleep. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Be ready for the opportunities that God brings your way. Be prepared for action. And then be self-controlled is what the next part of the verse tells us. To be self-controlled means there has to be some effort on my part. I can't just be footloose and fancy free and God will take care of me and bring me through this. No, be awake to trusting in the Lord and leaning upon Him and obeying and responding and following Him. And the last part of the verse tells us this: set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's how we need to live our lives. Set your hope fully. Not partially. Fully set your hope. On what? On the grace to be given. You know, we are being given grace as we need it, as God moves to help us. But there will be a day, there will be a time where we will receive His full grace when Jesus is revealed and we shall be like Him and we shall know Him as we are known. And man, I look forward to that day. But until that time, He calls us and commands us to stay alert. One more benefit I want to share with you. Fear of death and judgment leads us to understand we need a Savior. You see, the truth of the matter is, we become so busy with our schedules and with our dreams and our hopes that if we are not careful, we miss what we need most, and that's the Lord. I want to share with you from Psalm 32. In Psalm 32, the ancient songwriter, King David, shares some powerful words as he starts out this ancient song in Psalm 32. Here's what he says. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven. That word transgressions comes from a Hebrew word that is speaking about rebellion. It is the idea of, I'm calling the shots. I don't need any help. I've got this. Leave me alone. And so it is a picture of, God, I don't need you. I don't need you in my life. David said, blessed. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. In other words, that rebellion, that leaving God out of my life, that saying, I don't need you, God, I can handle it. He's saying, oh, you are blessed if you've run to God and found the forgiveness that He makes available in rebellion. And then the second part of the verse, he said, and those whose sins are covered. The Hebrew word for sins is the picture of a path that leads to a specific destination. And so the picture here is, blessed is the one who has stepped off of God's path and found their way back to the path so that they can arrive at the destination. And you see, what's the destination? The destination is to be in the presence of God when we die. The destination is heaven. And the only way to get to heaven is to be on the right path. So what is the right path? It's not an ideology. It's not a philosophy. It is not the charisma of a specific spiritual leader. The path is a person. Jesus Christ is the path. He said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That word way could be translated, I am the path. I am the road. And there is only one road that goes to heaven. There are other paths. And just because I want to take the other path or road and tell you that that road goes to a specific place does not mean it does. Hey, I've got a GPS that sometimes lies. That GPS will tell me that I am headed to a certain destination and it doesn't take me there. I've ended up in fields. I've ended up in wrong roads. Sometimes by trusting that GPS and it led me astray. And you know what? Although I may believe that that road will take me to a certain destination, that does not mean that it will. And we live in this day of people who believe in relativism. They believe that as long as you believe it, it's true. But you know what? You can believe it and it not be true. I like to play with my grandson Atticus, and he has quite an imagination. And guys, we pretend like sometimes that we're on the couch and the floor is the ocean, and you know, we want to make sure we don't step and get bit by a shark, or we pretend we're in Africa, or we pretend we're a Marvel superhero and we're ready to get that bad guy. But the truth of the matter is, at some point, we've got to come out of our imagination and get back to reality. And I may believe that I-95 North will take me to Florida, and I may preach it to you with passion, and I may be fully convinced. But if I get on I-95 North, I am not going to Florida. I love what Francis Schaeffer said. The problem with the person who believes in relativism. The problem with that person, or the person that says, I make up the rules, what I believe is true, the problem with that is every one of us, Francis Schaeffer says, still has to live in God's world. You see, no matter what I believe, there is still the reality of the world that God has created. And at some point, I am going to bump up against God's world. And no matter what I think, I'm going to see His truth and who He is. The verse we started out with, one of the verses, Hebrews 9:27, tells us, just as man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. You see, fear, we try to run from it. We try to hide from what we're afraid of. But we can't hide from death. Ultimately, we have an appointment with death. As Hebrews 9:27 tells us, we are destined to keep that appointment. Guys, it will happen. No matter what we believe about how good we are, just as David tells us in Psalm 32, we have transgressions. We said, God, I don't need You in my life. And at some point we might say, I need You sometimes, but that's not enough. We need God all the time. And there are times we have gotten off the path, and the path is Christ Himself, and we need Him. We need Jesus. We need to ultimately be on that path. And when we're not, it causes issues. I love here in Psalm, I'm going to go back to Psalm 32, the next verse. After verse 1, he tells us, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. Man, think about who is saying this. We're talking about David. David, who was up on the rooftop when he should have been at battle with his troops, and he looked down and he saw a woman bathing. And before you know it, he calls her up to his palace. And he sleeps with this married woman. She becomes pregnant. He's afraid, so what does he do? He tries to talk her husband to not fighting, but coming home so he can be with his wife. He refuses because he's there for a reason, and he doesn't want to kill the morale of the troops. I mean, he's there to protect Israel, you know? And he says no. And so David comes up with this plan. And so they're going to put Uriah in the head of the battle, and then the other troops will draw back. And that happens, and he's murdered. And this is all David's doing. And he tries to hide it, and God sends His prophet to David and tells this parable about a helpless little lamb. And so anyway, David gets nailed with his sin. And he's broken over his sin. This is the guy that is saying to us here in verse 2, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. So what's happened? Some way, somehow, he has realized that his sins are not being counted against him. Wow! I don't know what you've done, but you probably don't have the list David does. It's obvious. But you know what? However, we have rebelled against the living God, and if we are not on the path of Jesus Christ, the truth of the matter is, we're in trouble, and we're going to die. And yet, David said, man, blessed is the one the Lord doesn't count their sin against them. There's no deceit. He lived deceit, but something's happened. He knows God is a just God. He knows God is righteous. He knows sin has to be paid for. And yet he says here, hey, my sins, they're not going to be counted. Hey, the deceit of my heart, that's not going to be eternity for me. In some way, this has been revealed to David. You are forgiven, David. I have chosen to deal with your sins myself. I don't know what David knew. I don't know if he somehow revealed to David that he would send a Savior to die on a cross. We don't know the specifics of that. But what I do know is that he knew somehow God would take care of this sin issue in his life. And of course, we know what he did. He sent Jesus Christ, who died upon a cross, although he is sinless, who was buried in a tomb. And after 3 days, he was raised to life. And he invites all of us to bring our sin, our rebellion, our transgression to Him. And He invites us to find the forgiveness that was provided on Calvary through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. I know there's a lot of fear right now. We don't know what's going to happen with the coronavirus, COVID-19. Frankly, it just reminds us whatever comes our way, we need to be on the path of Jesus Christ. Whatever comes our way, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to stay in the safe pasture He's provided. He'll be with us. He's the shepherd who will stay with us. And we need to trust Him. So the benefits of fear, it just comes clear. I need the Lord. There's a lady who is now with the Lord, Ida Hopkins. Her favorite song was, "Without Him, I Can Do Nothing." And I thought of this hymn. Of course, I thought of Ida. But listen to the lyrics. "Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Oh, without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Oh Jesus, my Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. Without Him, I would be dying. Without Him, I'd be enslaved. Without Him, my life would be worthless. But with Jesus, thank God, I am saved. That's why I cry, Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Oh Jesus, my Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be." Guys, death is coming for all of us, whether it's COVID-19 or another circumstance, we will die. But there is a benefit of death. There is a God who loves us so much, He has reached out to us. And He's reaching out to you now. If you are not on the path of Jesus Christ, what a great time. What a great time to trust Him as your Savior, as the one who can provide you forgiveness. I want to close with a story of an evangelist, Charles G. Finney, who God used in a mighty way. And when Charles G. Finney was a young man, he was very ambitious. And he decided he wanted to be a great lawyer. And so he studied at law school to become one of the leading attorneys in the United States at the time. And one day, a Christian came to Finney and he said to him, "Charles, what are your plans?" He said, "Well, my plan is I intend to graduate from this law school with honors, the top of my class." "What then, Charles?" "Well, after that, I suppose I will seek to land a job at a prestigious law firm to study there." "And what then, Charles?" "Well, then I hope to become the head attorney there, and that the prominence of that law firm will only grow." "What then, Charles?" "Well, then I hope that we're able to build that law firm till it is the best law firm in the country." "What then, Charles?" "Well, then I hope to meet a beautiful woman, fall in love, get married." "What then, Charles?" "Well, then I hope to have children, to raise them and see them become successful and fulfilled." "What then, Charles?" "Well, then I hope someday to be able to earn enough money to be able to comfortably retire and to spend time with my beautiful wife." "What then, Charles?" "Well, then, I guess I'll die." "What then, Charles?" Put your name in there. What then? Let's pray. Father, fear is very real. We know that, Lord. But we know that You took it all on the cross. You are the path and You are available, and we simply need to place our confidence and trust and hope in You, our Savior. And we need to turn from our sins as we turn to our Savior, to our Lord, to our Master. And Father, I just pray that You would just move among us and that the Holy Spirit would guide those who are virtually in this service. And Father, that Your word will not go out void, but that it will accomplish what You please, Lord. And Father, may we simply trust You, because Jesus is the way. He is the life. He's the truth. And so, Lord, I just pray that You would reveal Yourself to us. Thank You for loving us and for being our sin guide to bring us out of sin, and that Your hand is outstretched and we have nothing. We don't have 1% to bring to You, but that You say, let go and hold on to Me, and you will be forgiven. If no one here has placed their trust in Jesus, what a great time to do that now. Simply pray with me where you are and say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I place my confident trust in the work of Jesus Christ, and it is upon Him I now trust as the path for heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, if you've placed your confidence in Christ, He is that path. And I know it's crazy times, but we have a great God who is bigger than whatever we face, including the fear we face now. We can confidently trust in Him. Okay, we have a verse we're going to share together before we close in prayer. It's one of the verses I've shared a couple of times.